Sometimes I feel like there's no way out, and my heart begins to doubt your amazing grace. But I know that your word is true. You somehow
never would I try to make it without the Lord. He is my life. He is my life. I want you to know that. I depend wholly on Him. Well, I've got a message today, the rapture from a heavenly point of view. I really hardly got started with the great material for this sermon. When you think of the rapture, you've got many texts from the Bible all the way back in the early books of the Bible. Enoch was a type of the rapture. Certainly Sodom and Gomorrah was a type of the rapture. But you got that type and that picture all the way through the Bible. Numbers of Old Testament books spend ample time with it in New Testament books. Jesus talked about it wonderfully. Saying, hey, there's a day coming when two will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two will be in the bed, one will be taken, the other left. Two will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. All kinds of pictures by men writing about the rapture from a earthly point of view, from an earthly setting. Well, this morning I'm taking you to the book of Revelation, and we're going to look at the rapture from a heavenly point of view. From looking down above, John was caught up into heaven, and he saw the result and the great event of the rapture from a heavenly advantage, a heavenly position. And I like that. I really do. So we'll go there in just a minute. Let's pray. My great God, Jehovah, make known yourself to this great family, this great audience that listen to this broadcast. I am thrilled when I hear from places like India, places like Siberia in the northern tip of Russia. I hear from, Australia and countries in South Africa, countries in Africa, I should say, countries of all over the world. I'm grateful. God, you get the glory, you get the praise, not Joe Chambers. Bless every person listening to this sermon. Don't let nobody miss the excitement of this hour, the great rapture of the bride of Jesus Christ. What a day that's going to be. God bless you, friends. God bless every one of them, Father. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, don't miss the broadcast on Saturday. We're dealing with the great 7-year great tribulation. Oh, what picture. And we'll be very shortly looking at the opening of the bisque, the opening of the bottomless pit under hell, the turning loose of grotesque creatures onto this earth to do some of the darkest damage you've ever heard of in your life. It's going to be breathtaking. It really is going to be breathtaking. And I want you to have a good picture of that event and that time. And so that's what we're doing with Open Bible Dialogue on Saturday. You can hear it live on internet now. All you got to do is over on the right front page. You see that place with a place to connect to click. I keep having to learn how to say click, to click and get right into the live broadcast. Everybody in the world can hear it. You can hear it, you can hear the live program on Saturday, my time, of course, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard. Your time will be different, of course, around the world. And then if you miss the live program, it's archived. You can go right up to the left and you'll see Open Bible Dialogue, the top of the home page. You let me know, give me your email, we'll send you a post to it. All you have to do is click on the post and go right to it. I mean, we'll just make it handy for you because we care. We really do. Well, it's a joy always to bless you and to be a blessing to you. And we strive hard for that because we know that if we can bless you, we're blessing the kingdom of God and good things will certainly occur. And that's why we are here. We're here for good things to occur in your life. We're here to pour out the blessing of God with the help of the Holy Spirit upon you so that you will hear the word. And your life will be marvelously changed. I mean marvelously changed. And that's what we're praying for. That's what God's going to do for you. Now, go hear this word. It's straight from the Holy Book. We want it to be a blessing to you. We want your life to be blessed. We really want your life to be blessed. So open up your heart wide and let's hear the word of God. Let's hear the Holy Book. Okay? Are you ready? Let's go in Jesus' name.
The book of Revelation 4:1. I must proceed. Revelation 4:1. After this I looked. Behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Verse 10, the 24 elders fell down before him. That's the Father on the throne, that sat on the throne, and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I want to preach a few minutes this morning on the rapture from a heavenly point of view. The rapture from a heavenly point of view. rapture from a heavenly point of view. You can go to the book of Psalms. You can go to the book of Malachi. You can go to Jeremiah. You can go to Zechariah. You can go to Daniel. Several other books in the Old Testament. You can go to the New Testament, Matthew, right on to Jude. And almost every book has something to say about the rapture. But the view of all of those are, as it were, from a here perspective. From a church world perspective. But when you move to the book of Revelation, you get a picture of the rapture from a heaven point of view. From a heaven point of view. And I want to spend a few minutes with that this morning, because you can continue and dig on and find much in the book of Revelation that talks about this great truth from a heaven point of view. Would you be seated and keep praying for God to lay His hand upon me and to anoint me, that I say the right words this morning and that I preach His truth. Now, the rapture. Think with me a minute. Think with me a minute. How many of you love going to a homecoming, to a camp meeting, to many of the events that we may have in our world, where you think as you are on your way, I'm going to see my friend. I'm going to see that uncle that I love. I'm going to see that person that I learned to respect years ago. And you go to these events, you go to these places, and you go knowing that you're going to see people that you haven't seen in a long time. You know that you're going to see somebody that you love. Do you know? We go to funerals. Many of us go to funerals, and we see people that we haven't seen for years. We look forward sometimes to go into the wake before the funeral when they're receiving friends because of the people we see that we never see otherwise. Is anybody like that but me? Do you enjoy seeing people that you've never seen? Some time ago, I went to a funeral with my family, and there were cousins that we were brats together years ago. There were uncles and aunts that brought us candy when we went to the Baptist church where we attended and never forgot about us. And there was all kinds of people, and you enjoyed them. You loved them. You anticipated seeing them. But I want to tell you something this morning. Can you imagine arriving in the city of heavenly Jerusalem, where the saints of the ages have all been raptured and resurrected and are there together? And you get to walk through that city, and there's Daniel, and there's Abraham, and there's even Enoch, whom we preached about, whom we've talked about. There's the great prophets of the Old Testament. There's the saints of the New. There's Paul. There's Peter. There's James, maybe Jude, maybe you'll see some of the others and recognize them. Oh, can you imagine arriving in heaven at the time of the rapture where all these saints of the ages have gathered together and you are there right in the midst of them? I don't see anybody acting like you consider that as being a glorious time. If you can consider that being a glorious moment, would you slip a hand up? Would you slip a hand up? Can you imagine seeing those saints that you loved and that you respected? Can you imagine seeing that dad, that husband, that wife, that uncle, that granddaddy, that grandmother? Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. But you see, when you look at Revelation chapter 4, that's the picture. Chapter 5 is part of it too. That's the picture you see of the resurrection. That's the picture you see of the rapture. Let me take you to a verse. And I don't know whether this verse has ever rested with you, but chapter 5 in verse 11. We're going to look at several verses, but this one first. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, that's the cherubims, and the elders. Notice, and the elders. We saw those elders as 24 sitting on thrones, lesser thrones in chapter 4. But now we don't just see 24 elders. We see the elders with a semicolon. And what does it say? It says 10, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Is anybody hearing me? Are you aware that we are soon to be raptured as the Holy Ghost has spoke to us this morning? And that we're going to gather in that celestial city where the gates are either pearl or gold, where the streets are majestic beyond description, where the temple of God is completely out of this world in its magnificence. What a city! But if there was no streets of gold, and there was no pearly white city, and there was no great, great cathedral or temple of God, to think of seeing Jesus, to think of seeing Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter, to think of hearing James talk about faith, and hearing Paul talk about grace, and hearing Daniel talk about the kingdom of God. Whoa, what a day it's going to be, church. Hallelujah. What a time. Now, that number is indescribable. 10,000 times 10,000. Anybody know how many that is? That's 100 million. That's 100 million. 10,000 times 10,000. But then it adds to that thousands of thousands. Wow. I got to multiplying thousands. I started with 100,000. And I multiplied 100,000 by 100,000. And wow. I mean, it blew my mind. If you aren't careful, you'll have more people in that calculation than's ever lived. And the Bible said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. So the multitudes, according to the world population, are not going to be there, but it's going to be a crowd. I said, it's going to be a crowd. I said, it's going to be a sanctified crowd. It's going to be a happy and holy crowd. It's going to be a shouting crowd. Hallelujah. It's going to be a picture and a time and a place of such grandness from heaven's point of view. All of God's greats are going to be there. All of God's greats are going to be there. Every great old prophet, Brother Jim, that stood the test of time. Every great old preacher that would not compromise and agree with the world and shorten his message. Every saint of God, every godly lady who lived the life of purity and righteousness and didn't worry when the world called her an old fogey and looked at her as though she was from another generation. Listen to me, saints of the living God. Hallelujah. When we get there, it's going to be a multitude. Hallelujah, of the godly, the righteous, and the pure, and we're going to be right in the middle of it. The first 100 years, we'll probably just spend it getting acquainted with those we never met before. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, Brother Jim, but I think about David, a man after God's own heart. And I think about the Psalms that he wrote, the songs that he sung and wrote. Solomon, the songs they sung and wrote. Oh, the beauty of singing those psalms and quoting them in the middle of the night. Oh, what am I going to say to David when I ask him, David, tell me the circumstance on which you wrote the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And he may say, I was out in the pasture with daddy's flock. And it was a dark night and I was lonely. all the sheep was in the fold, and I was laying in the gateway so no wolf or bear could get across to my sheep. And I was there, and it was dark, and I heard noises around, and I heard a rumbling over in the bushes, and some of the animals were uncomfortable because they sensed the fear. And there I was. It was all by myself. And God said to me, "But I'm with you." And I started thinking, and I started remembering, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death out here, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Woo! Hallelujah. Do you understand, church? That's going to be a grand occasion. Wow. And Joe Chambers is going to be there. Hallelujah. Stand up if you're going to be there, Marlon Clark, and stay stand a minute. Anybody else going to be there? You just intend to be one of those walking among the saints. You intend to be one of those visiting around among the Pauls and the Peters and the Jameses and the Johns. You're going to be one of those that's looking up Brother Dry and looking up Sister Rose and looking up others of the saints of the living God. Woo! Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. It's going to be a grand moment. Oh, she covered her more to there. Hallelujah. I don't... Hallelujah. That's Aubrey behold me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When you begin to see that rapture from a heavenly point of view, it's going to be one grand moment. Somebody shout hallelujah. I don't care whether I finish this sermon any further. You just praise Him and magnify Him and get ready to go. We're leaving shortly. Hallelujah. One man said to me yesterday, "I want to go to heaven if you're not getting up alone today." That man ain't ready to go. If you can't go today, you ain't going tomorrow. How many know that? If you can't go today, you're not going tomorrow. We got a world full of people that are so broken and so out of whack and their emotions are so frayed and they, you know, we have them come to our altars and they get a touch of God, but they don't last. Lack of commitment. Lack of self-sacrifice. Lack of self-surrender. But when I think of seeing this crowd, oh, hallelujah. When we have a meeting with our fellowship, and I know I'm going to be with Eugene Smith and Precious, and I'm going to be with Joey Yates and Mama and Papa Yates, and I'm going to be with Brother Ed Branch and Bonnie, and I'm going to be with the Peppers and the Ganses, and I'm going to be with these people. I can't hardly wait. I can't hardly wait, but Jim, I can't hardly wait. Okay, I mean, time comes, I'm watching for cars to drive up that I recognize. I'm watching for people that I know because I want to be with them. They're saints of God. They're full of the Holy Ghost. They belong to Jesus. They're my brothers and my sisters. But you ain't seen nothing. Hallelujah. What you going to see when that rapture takes place? Hallelujah. Those streets of heaven are going to be crowded with the saints of the living God. There won't be nobody jostling nobody. There won't be nobody pushing for first place. Everybody will have first place. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. I can almost see it. I can almost see it. Going to heaven. Going up in that rapture. Leaving here. Well, that's going to be grand. That really is going to be grand. But let's kind of go back a little bit. And let's think of something even more grand. Chapter 4 that I just read to you. Immediately John said, "I was in the Spirit." He had to be in the Spirit to see what he's fixing to see. He was still natural. He was still, you know, a man that had not been resurrected. He was in the flesh. He was getting this vision on the Isle of Patmos, and he was in the flesh, and he was fixing to see the throne of God. And so the Bible says in this third verse, "I was in the Spirit." No, second verse. "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven." a throne was set in heaven. And behold, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now, you say, what's in that verse? The Bible says, no man in the natural body with natural eyes, with fleshly components, has ever seen God. John didn't see God. John saw the glory of God. Because when he looked, he saw a glory like unto a jasper and a sardine stone. He saw a brilliance, a gleaming brilliance, a gleaming glory. And the glory was enraptured with emerald, or an emerald appearance. And around that emerald appearance was a rainbow. And there was God. And he knew it was God. He didn't describe him as a person. He described him in the brilliance of jewels. Rich, rich, unpriceable jewels. And he saw the glory of God. Now we got to think a minute. He saw that from an earthly point of view. But when we see that, it's going to be from a heavenly point of view. And when we stand there before the throne of God, we will literally look upon God in His eternal majesty, His breathtaking person. Well, I don't know how to say it. We'll actually see the Father who hung the moon and the sun in their orbit, who made the mountains and the oceans, who painted the blue across the sky and painted the trees with a beautiful green, who made it all. But we're going to see Him for ourselves. We're going to look upon God. Now, I don't know how to describe this. I'm really in territory bigger than me. You know that. But when I see Him, and I know that's my Father, and the brilliance of His person, the eternity of His holiness, just being able to have a glorified body that I can look on His holiness will mean so much, indescribable. I will actually see Him with my glorified eyes, and I will know that's my eternal Father. And when I look upon Him, His person and His joy and His holiness and His brilliance will just consume me. And I can tell you the shout in that place when men see the Father is going to be indescribable. Hallelujah. If you can love Him now, think of how you're going to love Him when you have seen Him. Oh, somebody raise a hand and think of the beauty of seeing God. Oh, he's sick of brandy with us tomorrow. Just give him a wave off, will you? Come on. Hallelujah. What a moment that's going to be. The Father looking straight at Joe Chambers. He may say something like, my son. And I'm going to say, my Father. You know, the Bible talks about that. It's talking about Him calling us His sons, His daughters, and us calling Him our Father. From heaven's point of view, the rapture is so beyond human grasp. It's impossible to grasp. But it doesn't stop with just me seeing the Father. Chapter 5, and there's really no division in chapter 4 and 5. They're all part of each other. So when you read chapter 4 and 5 this week, Revelation, don't put a chapter in there. Just read it as a continuing story. But as the story continues, the Father on the throne suddenly has a book, a scroll in His hand. It's a long scroll, and it's rolled like scrolls were in the Old Testament era. And the Father has this scroll in His hand. And the angels are searching for somebody to open the scroll. Because Revelation cannot continue past chapter 5 unless somebody can open that scroll in the Father's hand. The whole bit of the resurrection, the rapture, the eternal judgment, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, none of that can unfold if nobody can open that scroll that's in the Father's hand. Here's the Father in His brilliance and magnificence. He's got a throne. And an angel is looking for somebody to open, undo the scroll, unroll it. And they couldn't find nobody. Here's old John. Still in the flesh, you know, but he's in the spirit. He's flesh, but in the spirit. I should say it this way. He's flesh, but he's in the spirit. But he's still thinking like a man in the flesh. And he starts weeping. He knew what that book represented. He was Jewish. He knew in the Old Testament that there was always a scroll when something had been lost to an usurper. There was a scroll of how it could be brought back and purchased, repurchased. And he understood the scroll was the title deed of the earth. It was the whole procedure for opening up all that was going to bring us to a new heaven and a new earth. And John saw the whole proceeding failing. What's going to happen? He's weeping. He's weeping. And an angel comes up to John and says, John, quit weeping. Behold! The Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. I add that from another scripture. Hath prevailed to open the scroll, to open the book. Hallelujah. All heaven goes into constant great celebration and praise and excitement because somebody is there, Brother Eddie, to open that scroll and to unlock the future. There can be a new heaven and a new earth, a land, a world of righteousness, a land, a world of beauty and power and holiness. Well, and holiness. And so Jesus, not called Jesus, he was called the Lamb. Because it was His death on the cross that merited Him this favor. And He goes to the Father. And He takes the scroll. And the choir. Oh, you Sister Michelle, that was good. Michelle, I'm sorry. That was good singing this morning, Michelle. How many enjoyed the song, the choir sung? Would you raise your hand up high? You enjoyed it. It was good. It really was. It really was. And I can guarantee you, Michelle is going to be part of that choir. You plan to, don't you? But not just Michelle. Probably Joyce and Teresa. I guarantee you both of them can sing. I know Joyce can. Listen. You wait till that choir assembles up there. The Bible says, hallelujah, that once Jesus had taken that roll, that scroll from the Father's hand, that heaven broke out in praise and celebration and adoration, and they began to sing on praise and honor and glory. Wow. Unto the Lord, and they begin to bless Him. Hallelujah. Let's look at it. And they, verse 9 of chapter 5, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. Now here's Jesus. He just took the scroll from the Father. And this multitude, thousands and millions, I think the whole crowd sings. I think I'll be singing. Hallelujah. Mama sang tenor. Daddy sang bass. No, she sang soprano. Oh, but what a day. And they're going to go start singing. And the Son of God standing there. Oh, let me tell you something, church. When you see Him in His glory, when you see Him in all of His majestic person, and you see Him with eyes that have been glorified so that no longer there's a scale. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Did you hear that? That's in 1 Corinthians 13. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. When you look upon the Son of God, I'm here to tell you, He is express image of the Father. So the glory which you've seen in the Father, you will now see in the Son. And heaven breaks out in worship. You see, all of this has happened Because Jesus went to Calvary and died on a cross for you and me. See, that's why He's a Lamb. That's why they're not seeing Him as the glorious Son of God, as John saw in Revelation 1. They're seeing Him here as a Lamb, because the redemptive qualities of His death is now ready to redeem an earth. Now, there's so much. And I'm praying you'll read Revelation 4 and 5 this week. Read it 2 or 3 or 4 times. Just meditate and let it saturate you and get a heavenly view of the rapture. The whole 2 chapters, 4 and 5, Revelation, the whole 2 chapters is a picture. It begins with, "Come up hither." And it ends with Jesus preparing to open the seals to unleash the tribulation period and to redeem this earth. It's all a beautiful, beautiful event. The rapture from a heavenly point of view. Leaving here, glorified bodies. I won't need a suit. I won't need a tie. You won't need the pretty frock you may have on. We'll all be robed in righteousness. Not your righteousness, but His righteousness. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. Church, the rapture is about to happen. I actually believe it must become to us, and I prayed earnestly this morning, Lord, would You help me that somehow I can become a greater preacher about the rapture, and that I can say the things by the Holy Ghost that people will move out of the state they're in. I mean, there's people everywhere that just kind of sit in their lapsed condition. They're kind of indifferent, and the rapture idea can't even conquer their mind, and they're just kind of Just pew warming. Just sitting here. And that rapture is fixing to take place. If you don't have oil in your vessel, you say, does that mean you've got to have the baptism? That means you've got to either have the baptism or you're going to be seeking that baptism with all your heart. You know, there's a lot of oil that goes with being saved, because that's the work of the Holy Ghost too. But it must grow, and it must continue. And it must be a lifestyle. And if you're not hungry for God to flood your soul, if you're hungry for that and you want to go in that rapture, I want you to stand. I know those that are going to that funeral must leave fairly quickly. I understand that. And I want anybody that can go to go. I have all the information you need. Just see me. If you need the GPS to give the street address, I've got that for you. I want you to go if you can. But I want you to get ready for that rapture. Hallelujah. Please, for a moment, slip up a right hand and ask God to show you where you are. Show you where you are. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's oil in your vessel? And that right now, without one moment of preparation, you've already done your preparing. You can go. You could go right now. That trumpet would sound. Can you go right now? All over this church. I'm going to wait a moment. I'm not going to bring you to the altar this morning with the time limits I'm under. I want you. I want you to get committed. I want you to study these 2 chapters until you get a heavenly point of view. It's almost over, church. It's almost over, church. I love the way the Holy Ghost spoke to us this morning. Those were powerful words to my heart. We're just almost there.
So we shall know Him. We shall know Him. And read.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I shall know him. I shall know him by the nail prints in his hand.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Please listen to me. I'm trying to close. Can you imagine when you look at him as he reaches to take the scroll from the Father's hand and you look, and what do you see? You see the scars of Calvary. You see the scars of Calvary. And you suddenly realize that's him. That's Jesus. You may have already recognized it, but if you haven't, when you see those scars, you'll know it's him. You shall know him by the nail prints. Sing it, brother.
I shall know him. When
somebody was found
by his side,
hallelujah.
I shall stand.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I shall know him.
I shall know him
by the nail prints in his hand.
You know what? Another break here. How many of you got loved ones that are not ready to go? Raise your hand high. Loved ones that aren't ready to go. I know family people who have known holiness, who have known the things of God, who've known the holiness of His presence, who've been full of the Holy Ghost, who praised and loved Him with another language. And this morning, it's all history. They don't even know whether it's right anymore or not. You say, the devil could never bring me where I wouldn't know this is right. You just don't know the devil. You probably don't know your own flesh. Apostle Paul was one of the greatest, and he said, I keep my body under, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway. I've never been so aware of how helpless I am without Him. The grace of Jesus is my life. I have to have it every day. Sing it one more time. Everybody sing it.
I shall know him when redeemed by his side. I shall know him by the name.